Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, that'll get everybody tapping their toes. Welcome to the show, Gideon Irving. How are you this morning, Gideon? Good morning, Gideon. How are you today?
Great.
Good.
Well, funny to hear that coming through the phone.
There you go. I bet it is. It's usually you're playing it. That's sort of like listening to ourselves talk on the radio. It's an out-of-body experience, I think.
Indeed.
Let me introduce Gideon. He's been writing songs since he was a tiny tot. He's been playing banjos in 2007 and moved to Asheville, North Carolina to study with banjoist and legendary potter Akira Satake in 2008. And while he started with old time and bluegrass, his repertoire today spans Western African genres to Broadway show tunes on the harmonica to the glockenspiel to electronic venues. Gideon began his international stovetop folk house show venture in New Zealand, courtesy of a successful Kickstart campaign. He ended up bicycling with a trailer behind him across New Zealand to tour through 80 homes, all of which he found through word of mouth and audience referrals. Upon returning to the U.S., he toured across New York City and Brooklyn on rollerblades with a similar goal in mind, this time, though, pushing a modified shopping cart to play in 30 homes in a month, and has since completed 5 U.S. cross-country tours, though, in an automobile, including a tour of a two-man show, the Gideon and Hubcap show with his longtime friend and collaborator Hubcap. They've gone through homes in the American West. Since 2012 now, Gideon has performed in 250 homes for audiences as small as 3 all the way up to 100. And as the shows have developed and grown, he's collaborated with independent fabric artists, choreographers, sound designers, engineers, and illustrators. And so what's next? I'm told that he currently has over 1,500 recommended contacts to host across 32 countries who are all sure to be thoroughly entertained and surprised by, indeed, Gideon's cavalcade of unique performance. So I think, Gideon, you're not unlike me when people say, how do you find your guests for the radio show? It's the same way. I suspect nobody's safe sitting next to you in an airplane or at a bus stop in terms of looking for a venue next to play.
Right. Yeah, it's all about building networks and then maintaining them. And I started my journey in New Zealand by booking just 5 shows and homes through couchsurfing.org and finding hosts who'd be interested in it that way. And then I started having people write down on my map I was traveling with names and contacts of friends they thought would be interested in hosting. And then I started doing that more and more with my maps after each show. So basically 80-90% of my hosts I find through audience members putting down their friends on my maps after the show who they think would like to host.
And so my question for you is does the line that you travel follow your having done the show, or have you placed that line out and said, now who can I find along the way so this can guide me on the path I'd like to travel?
Right. So after each tour, I have these maps that are all filled up with people's contacts, and I digitize those and put them into spreadsheets. And then when I'm doing another tour, I end up seeing where the highest concentration of possible contacts is and book that tour according to where I have the contacts and where I want to go. And I book the tours now 2 to 3 months in advance, so every night is accounted for, and it's all very organized, so I can hold it all together. Yeah, so at first it was kind of 2 to 3 weeks out, and then it's become several months in advance planning it all.
Don't you love it? Let's start with another song that you've played. You share with us the song called "Jeweled and Constant." Shane, why don't you fire that up?
I've known love to be a lazy word, easy mystery of a thing to say that just might make you smile now. Oh, the things we say, my, the things we don't, and wish we had, and wonder why we did. It was just a rumor of a tease, a thought to thaw my winter poem, made to please a notion at best floating in the ether with the rest. But funny as it is, so here I am, and there is weight, and there is form so thick and present on my finger I could gather just the matter of my middle.
What's the story behind that song?
Oh, that song is just a good old love song. Mm-hmm. First experience, feeling like you're falling deep in it and trying to sort it out and what it all means. It's been a long time actually since I've played that song, but yeah, that was recorded in the kind of cellar room of my friend's house when we were in a band together, and then kind of forgotten about and thrown on the album when we ended up recording it 2 years later at his farm.
Isn't that fun, the things that come back to you? Well, you know,
yeah.
Gideon, the idea of playing in people's homes, what do you think that teaches you as a performer that maybe you don't get when you're in a club or a theater in the same way?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's a great thing to do for any performer anywhere along in their career, but definitely starting out too. It makes you confront your audience
mm-hmm.
in an incredibly intimate and visceral way. There's no hiding in the darkness. You know, the spotlight is on you in a theater, and you can look out and feel like you're all alone. But in a home, in a living room, you look out and you see everyone's face, and they're, you know, 10 feet away from you. You can see if someone's smiling or crying or laughing or falling asleep or texting on their phone, and it really challenges you very quickly to see what is and what isn't working. And it also makes you very involved with all aspects of your show. You're in charge of the sound, of the lighting, of the seating, of, you know, all spatial arrangements. And having to deal with that night in, night out, and improvise with the different environments, I think has helped me develop a more and more intentional show and experience.
I would think as well that means that truly you could probably, as you've done so many of these, be thrown into almost any environment and get it to work, because you've probably had to tweak and move and, you know, probably we don't need couches over here, or I better face this direction, that could serve you well regardless of the venue.
Right, definitely. And after, you know, a couple hundred shows in every kind of arrangement within a home, at least, that you can imagine, you're really, I'm able to improvise, and even when I go into something and say, oh man, how could this ever work?
You take
a big breath and you make it happen, and that's been hugely valuable.
So how was it you struck on the possibility of doing the traveling roadshow like you do and performing in people's homes? Was it at someone else's invitation, or did you stumble into it? Was it a deal out of desperation? How'd that come about?
Right. So I was playing in a band, my friend's band called Know How On, for a couple years. And we were touring and we were living together and working hard, and we were, you know, consistently getting better and better and playing all kinds of venues, you know, from kind of smaller cafes to real, you know, clubs, music clubs. And as I saw that kind of band trajectory and what we were working towards, it wasn't that exciting to me. Those atmospheres are just not my most comfortable place. It's too loud. I don't love hearing all these other bands and the drinking and the people, and there wasn't this human connection. And then I saw Julian Coster, the saw player, of the band Neutral Milk Hotel play a living room show in home in Bayside, Queens. And he's played lots of home shows. He's been doing that for years. And it was just, you know, one of the greatest shows I'd ever seen. There were 18 people in this little living room, him and two other guys, and it was full of surprises, and it was very much his own creation. And he just made me realize, oh, you can perform in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of spaces, and that was a venue that connected to me. I said, oh, you know, he can play in homes, so can I. I'll give that a try. And then the idea to go to New Zealand was my friend told me that so many of the small towns over there seldom have acts and performers coming through,
yeah.
Sharing their work with them, so that he thought they'd be really receptive to kind of performance. So I thought that would be a great place to start and try to develop a show.
And there's no more beautiful country as well that has such diversity. Within an hour, you can go from being near a glacier to actually being in a tropical garden. And the variety, it's a country that has more sheep than it does people. So you have, like you say, a very rural, in some areas, community that really know the power of community to welcome you into their home.
Yeah, and I was playing mostly very small towns where not a lot is coming in, so that was a very warm, welcoming place to start. And you know, at first I didn't have something I was too excited about, but after a month and a half of playing every night and slowly putting it together, I had a show and built from there.
Yeah, that's a fact. That was an organic. You know, if you could imagine the lifestyle envisioned into the future for you, what's it look like right now?
Yeah, so sometimes I meet a lot of people who think or hear about what I'm doing and think, oh, that's you know, sweet, or that's a great way to start, or, you know, working your way up to real places to play music. But homes, to me, are just a wonderful venue, and I plan on playing them for a long time.
That's right.
And to me, this develops to just have a variety of shows to be played in homes in repertory. So to have a two-person show for homes, to have a kids show, to have a more adult show, to have a show that is more magic, you know, oriented. I've gotten into some amateur magic and would like to develop that over the years. To have a show that isn't you know, English based or really built around words,
really versatility
for audiences, in different countries, and to have a talk too, to be able to give talks to colleges and classrooms and schools who often ask me to speak, to talk a little bit about how this works and how you can kind of invent your own thing.
Exactly, organically. Let's play that tune, Hubcap, since we mentioned in the introduction your affiliation with your friend.
San Francisco, are you swollen? Beauty sucker took my man. San Francisco, won't you give him back? Or come and take my hand. So you're radiantly charming like some always summer song. But you took my baby, won't you give him back? He's been gone all too long.
A little Hubcap. Bit about the musics and the instruments that are there for Hubcap.
Well, the instruments for Hubcap, that's just a banjo right there. But in the Gideon and Hubcap show, which we toured this fall, we had harmoniums and accordion and banjo and kazoo and glockenspiel and bouzouki and guitar and ocean harp and all kinds of stuff. The shows have been quite a hodgepodge of instruments, which I think is a big surprise to people along the way. I think, you know, as much as I try to give folks a bit of information and some links to click on and the invitations and things, a lot of people come to my shows expecting a guy to, you know, sing some songs with a banjo and a guitar maybe, and it's a bit more eclectic and strange. And
and how did you, how have you come to collect some of those additional instruments?
Mostly, you know, growing up in New York as a kid, you walk around and see people playing things all over the city that strike a chord and find out where they're from or where to find one. One of my favorite instruments I play is called the Shruti box, Indian kind of chanting, droning box with reeds in it. And I just saw a woman playing that inside a store in the East Village. And sometimes, you know, along the way, a lot of hosts have given me instruments, too. A guy, host Joe Sadowski in Minneapolis, gave me his beautiful accordion that we added to the Hubcap show that he won polka competitions with when he was 10 years old. And he gave it to me, and his name was inscribed in the side of this beautiful Scandale accordion. And he said, you can have this if you promise to play it and use it and never sell it. I said, deal.
It's a deal. That's exactly. So these shows that you've done across the countries in New Zealand and then across the United States, I mean, we said five times you've been back and forth across the U.S. and, of course, bicycling around, pushing a shopping cart on rollerblades. I know that got you some nice press in the process, right? You were covered in New York Times for having done that.
Right. That was actually a funny story because the day I ran into that reporter, I actually almost hit him with my shopping cart going down Riverside Drive.
That'll get you media coverage.
I stopped and I apologized, and there was a sign on my cart that said, you know, my name is Gideon.com, just trying to drum up some interest. And he said, is this a religious thing? I said, no, it's not a religious thing. And he said, tell me about it. And then he was at a show the next night and wrote the piece about it. And that day, I'd said to myself, you know, all I really want is like one story in the New York Times. I think that would really help me out, help me find some people. And that was the day that I ran into the guy. And, you know, I could have sent them a press release for 3 years before I heard from them. But you just got to almost run over the reporter. And
there you go. And you got the coverage.
With the shopping cart.
That's a great story. That's your advice. Yeah, run over the reporter, the shopping cart. Okay, be careful. You know, well, I guess that there are a lot of surprises you encounter on the road, both literal and figurative. Some of the great ahas that have hit you as you've traversed, because I have to suspect that's another thing that fuels this journey of yours, Gideon, is the stories you're collecting that are complete surprises.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a deeply social endeavor. You know, for me, I'm arriving at a house and then getting to spend some time with my host several hours while I set up before the show, and then spending time with people after the show. So it's I've met people from all kinds of walks of life. I think the biggest surprise is traveling all around the country is that I kind of expected to find more certain kinds of people or certain cultural modes or personalities in different places. And more I've found that there's every kind of person in every kind of town now. We're such a transient culture, and increasingly so, that everyone's moved everywhere. Mm-hmm. So whether I'm in, you know, a small town of 200 people in the middle of Utah or San Francisco or, you know, Tennessee, I'm finding all these different kinds of characters in a given show, and that's been really interesting to see.
Well, let's play the song.
But I'm really blown away by people's kindness and generosity and the risk that they take by having a stranger in their home inviting me to spend the night, you know.
Sure.
The show's been recommended to them by a friend, but often people don't say that much about the show, just that they think they should do it because I think they want the surprises that are part of the performance to be intact.
Precisely.
so people invite their friends to this thing that they don't really know what it is, you know? And
that's part of the element of surprise. Let's go with that, in fact, because next song is called Oh Wow.
Asking the gray to stay, say it's that time for home so flooded with crew to remind what it is, this idea family, it's in end time.
Well, I think the lyrics there were timely to your prior remarks. Perfect. Gideon, I understand that you actually sell some products of your tours that include your host's first names and their tea towels. Where did that come about?
Right. So in New Zealand, I kept finding that people kept suggesting to me that I make a tea towel as part of my merchandise, and it happened enough times that I thought it would be a good idea. It's just something they make as a souvenir for events they have out there. I started making these maps on tea towels like a dish towel, piece of fabric of all the tours I've done with all my hosts' first names jutting out of the map, so it serves as a record of where I've been and kind of a way for people to see visually what this project is about, and for them to have a little talisman of the experience and say, oh yeah, I was at this show, I was at that one, and it's been a fun project. On the cover of my album is the names of all the people that I'd met in my life at the time that I recorded it. So over 5,000 names. It's been 9 months coming up with the list of all the people I'd met from all the different parts of life, and I wrote it super small on the album. So there's a theme visually and in the stories of people, all the people you come across, and that each night, I collect more people and friends and experiences, and that's a big part of this project and why I love it.
Well, and in fact, the mere fact you call it a project, that doesn't imply, though, that it has an ending, based on what you said earlier, that you see this flexibility you've got for yourself and just being pulled forward. I mentioned in the introduction that you've already got quite a list of who's coming up next. So are you mindfully charting the next show tour? Because do you leave some space in case someone serendipitously says, as long as you're in town, how about doing this? Or are you that tightly scheduled then?
That does come up a lot, where I meet folks who would love to do a show or try to put me onto someone during the tour. But my tours end up, I'm usually playing pretty much a show every night for the length of a tour, maybe a couple days off in a tour, so I don't have much space to be spontaneous. But with all the different shows I'd like to make and ways I'd like to travel and places I'd like to go, those lists are for the next 5 or 6 tours, and then you go the list from there. But right now I'm working on a new commission project I got from the Foundry Theater of New York City to develop a new show for people's homes that will start taking on the road in 2015, all through homes. And that is, that's the first time I'm working with a theater group in collaboration. They've been commissioning new works from artists for the last 20 years, and they do shows.
Outstanding.
In theaters, in people's homes, on tour buses, in cafes, work with poets, magicians, playwrights, and so that's a whole new set of challenges and a wonderful group of collaborators.
Well, that's fabulous, but I have to suspect, here you are used to, aren't you, for the most part, traveling alone and just seeing what would come versus, there must be some striking differences to travel with a friend, as you've done, and then now this upcoming idea of being bad. I won't call it a band, but certainly a tribe.
Right. Well, Yeah, I'd gotten quite used to being alone. The tour with Hubcap was an incredible experience. I mean, he's very much family to me and has been for a long time.
Right.
But touring with him was just a lot funner than being
sure.
alone. You know,
being
a
alone,
7-hour
yeah.
drive went by in 15 minutes with him in the car, and being able to share those experiences with someone else and made me want to do it more and more. So working on this next piece with other people performing with me in mind, whether it's one person or two people, has been really exciting. And
I suspect, too, your ability then to pull upon all these other tours, the 250-some-odd homes you've visited over the course of these few years. Well, Gideon Irving, thank you so much for joining us. For our listeners, the website is mynameisgideon.com. And I know you made a trip here to Tucson, so we'll look forward to attracting you again in the future. Be well. Thanks
Great.
So much, Gideon.
Thanks so
you
much.
You bet. We're going to close with your final section called Few People. Here we go. Take care.
By a stream or by a tree or even person, however, where we could get to know the other piece of pair, we could give each other tips. I'm foraging for food if there was just one bunch of people on the earth. I hope to find you smiling and alive, and together we could wait for something else or be happy all the same. But what is one if there was just a couple people on the earth? I would like to take you out to dinner, and it is if you're free.
Change is chaotic, that is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.